This segment of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Power Women Investing, Ronstadt Insurance, and Mayfield Florists.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure.
Direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
Hey, good morning, everybody. This is Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt with my little boy, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, events, history, and the culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful.
And you know initially what I thought today was?
What?
National Armadillo Day.
There are no armadillos in Tucson.
But because I'm incorrect. It's not National Armadillo Day. It's National Amaretto Day. So, cheers.
Yeah, you know, Amaretto was, I drank that in
college. Don't want to hear the story, Fred?
In college.
Just a little bit of information.
Okay.
And so you drank it in college, and what happened?
No, that was like, you know, when we were being all quaint and civilized. And
who's
you know,
we?
You know, the people that you hang out with in college. And so you would sit in the dorm and have a little amaretto on the ice and study. It's all very cultured.
You're so full of garbage. I remember going into your dorm room when I was a senior in high school and you were a freshman at the U of A.
Yeah.
And you and your roommate, John Sweeney, both had upside-down mash bottles. Yours was filled with
IV bottles.
I just say mash because I remember the little M-A-S-H was on the side.
Yeah.
And his was full of...
Jack Daniels.
And yours was full of vodka.
No.
Maybe tequila.
Yeah.
And you guys are sitting there reading your trigonometry books, sucking booze out of a plastic tube from your IV bottles. And I thought, no, in this college experience, I got to get here.
No, we were cultured. We drank amaretto on the ice.
Not when I was around.
All right. Anyways, we invite everyone to visit us at fredandjeff.com. Follow us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. Subscribe to this tome of wisdom and entertainment.
And silliness.
On iTunes and TuneIn Radio. Now, Jeffrey.
Fred.
There's stuff going on in Tucson.
You're kidding.
No, believe it or not.
Lots of stuff or little stuff?
Lots of stuff. And actually, it's funny because this is typically the time in our wonderful community where people start hibernating in some sense.
Yes.
Or moving along to cooler climes.
San Diego. You come out and say it. Everyone's going to San Diego in the next 45 days.
Yeah, but you know what? It's the best time for me, at least, to be in Tucson when it's nice and warm. It's just a perfect temperature for me.
Well, and, you know, that probably is because you have little spikes in your head and a tail in your rear end.
You know, here's some college learning for you.
College learning? I need some
brother.
College learning.
So, lizards, snakes.
Yes.
You know, they call them cold-blooded.
Yes.
But in the biological world, they're called hycheliotherms, meaning that their body temperature is regulated by the ambient temperature.
I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. You tuned in to hear about the people, places, events, history, and culture that make Tucson a great place to live. And instead, you're being regaled by Fred and his 25-cent words.
Well, no, I just want to prove that I learned something in college.
Yeah, but you just read this 2 days ago.
Aside from the price of a shot of tequila. So right now, okay, so I don't know if you've been yet, Jeff, but a weekend with Picasso.
We're going this week. Very excited.
Planet Arizona Theater Company.
Yes.
And it is absolutely
very
phenomenal.
Excited to go and see that. So excited.
Yeah, now I'm going to give part of this away. There's two things that happen during the show that are very exciting for the audience. One happens in the middle of the show. And you don't find out about it till the end.
Okay.
The second thing is the final piece. So, just a quick
story. Oh, you're talking about the show.
Yeah, the show.
Weekend with Picasso.
Yeah. So
I thought you're talking about our show.
No. There's nothing surprising about this show.
It's surprising we're still on the air after 5 years.
That is surprising.
Yes.
But the artist Picasso on stage, the actor playing Picasso, does all the artwork. And so it's not like there are not actual Picassos or copies of Picassos. It's actually Herbert, who is it's painting the style of Picasso.
Yes.
And so during the storyline is that Picasso's been commissioned to do 6 paintings and 3 vases. And so throughout the weekend with Picasso, you see him create these pieces of art. So the final piece, the sixth piece, he does, and it's actually a brilliant piece, and it's auctioned off at the end of the show to someone in the audience who might want it, to have a piece of really nice art.
That's very cool.
So bring about $300 in your pocket and be first.
Oh, is that about what it went for? $300?
That is what it goes for, $300.
How do you know that?
Because I saw the show, and at the end they take the piece into the lobby and put a price tag on it and says $300. Now, it's a fundraiser for the youth summer program at ATC.
Cool.
So you get to support a great cause and get a wonderful piece of art. But you
And be, all the art that this guy has done during the show is for sale?
No, just this last piece. Every show. But you have to be like first in line if you want it, because it's a brilliant piece and it goes like immediately.
Perfect.
But it's a great show, and I think it runs through the 26th of this month.
Well, and folks, if you're in your car right now and driving along, just leaving church or breakfast or whatever you're doing, you're looking for something to do right this second, head on down to 196 North Court Avenue for the Tucson Presidio Trust annual membership meeting, because they are going to be talking about the Presidio and what's going on at the Presidio. There's all kinds of things.
What Presidio?
The Tucson Presidio, you nerd.
Yeah, but what is that?
Ugh. Fred, you know, I can tell you all about the Tucson Presidio if you pick up the May copy of the Tucson Happenings magazine.
It's not out yet.
Next month. Jim Turner, friend of the show, historian, wrote a great article for us for next month's Tucson Happenings magazine. But I was sent this little postcard from the Presidio St. Augustine del Tucson annual membership and brunch, and that's happening right now. And I think folks that want to get some culture should head on over there and check it out, because they'll also be talking about the walking tour of the Mission Gardens on May 3rd. And in June, the Gabriel Ayala Trio live will be performing at the gardens as well. Super fun thing. So if you're just looking for something to do right now that's kind of off the radar, that'd be kind of fun to do.
Yeah, but
watch some brunch.
What is so great about the Presidio?
It's part of our history.
Yeah, but
it's our culture.
Yeah, okay. I'm just testing you. So, who founded the Presidio? If you can answer this question, I will give you $5 right now. Who founded the Presidio?
Are you talking about Hugo O'Connor?
Yes, I am.
And who? You're talking about the fact that Hugo O'Connor founded the Presidio?
Hugo O'Connor.
Yeah, give me my $5.
You said it wrong.
$5, baby, right now.
So Hugo O'Connor, who's actually an Irishman,
yes, one of the
joined.
What do they call these Irishmen that left?
The floating birds.
Wrong.
What is it?
It's the flying geese.
You sure?
I know geese is in there somewhere. They're the Irish guys who got PO'd at.
Okay, so here's a bit of history. So the Irish were joining the Spanish military, because the Spanish were kicking Britain's butt.
Right.
And so the Irish would do anything to, you know, throw some rocks at the British.
Perfect. And so these guys left, and Hugo O'Connor ended up with the Spaniards.
In the southern, in Mexico.
Southern Mexico.
Northern Mexico.
No, southern. He came in through southern Mexico on the expeditions to chart the new land. And Tucson was one of those places.
Well, it was the northern boundary.
The northern frontier.
Northern frontier.
Thank you, Fred. So, folks, this part of our lovely show
was brought to you by Jim Turner
and Tucson Happenings Magazine. It's the 19th of April, so if you have not got your Tucson Happenings Magazine by this time, you probably ain't going to get one, because they go fast.
Yeah, they do.
But you can go to TucsonHappenings.com, check out all the fun things there are to do today and tomorrow, because they only give you little bits and pieces, but tons and tons of great stuff.
Yeah, a couple of things I got, just because I'll forget if I don't. The Tucson Boys Chorus Pops Concert, Music Through the Ages, is coming up on May 2nd. And we'll probably try and get Julian on again. Here's something I'll definitely forget. Mother's Day is May 10th, and there's a special Tucson Pops performance that night at the Demeester.
Cool.
And then the Greater Tucson Fire Foundation is having their annual poker run, yep, on May 16th.
Yep. And don't forget the Centurions having their big fundraiser to support Tunedito May 9th.
Oh, I thought the purpose of that was to have debauchery.
No, that's the purpose of the 4th Avenue Street Merchants Association.
No, I don't think you're right on that. I know you're not right on that at all.
All right, folks, so we got to take a quick break. We will be back with more here on The Fred and Jeff Show.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Anthony Cigar Emporium, the Downtown Tucson Partnership, and Sleeping Frog Farms.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show.
This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Rostad here with my little brother Jeffrey.
Hola, Shukshon.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful.
Absolutely correct, Fred.
And we've been talking about all sorts of things related to the Old Pueblo.
And not related to the Old Pueblo.
Anything.
Related to your debaucherous college career.
That's in the Old Pueblo. It's like, you know, there's the old movie, Seven Degree Separation from Kevin Bacon.
And?
There's like a 1 degree separation between us and the Old Pueblo.
That is correct, Fred.
So anything we talk about is, that's the Old Pueblo.
I guarantee you, we could probably make a correlation or a connection between anyone that's lived in Tucson for any period of time and someone that we know.
We probably could.
I bet you we could.
We absolutely could.
Okay, so test us, folks. Give us a call.
Yeah, so...
We'll know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody.
Well, somebody give us a call at 520-428-5104. Test us. If you stump us, we'll give you a dozen roses from our friends at Mayfield.
Oh, and we'll give you a gift certificate for lunch at the Tohono Chul little bistro there. It's quite lovely.
It is lovely.
Yes, it is.
They make a heck of a prickly pear margarita.
Ah, there you go with the tequila again. I'm going to have to get you into counseling.
Yeah, that's right. So call us at 520-428-5104. Now, with us today is Sylvia Yeager, obviously related to Chuck Yeager, who broke the sound barrier.
Well,
yes, this is true.
And Steve Yeager, he used to play for the Dodgers, you know.
Oh, yeah,
a lot
yeah.
of relatives like the Ronstadts.
Yeah, exactly.
Are these things true?
No.
Oh, jeez.
But Sylvia is a singing member for 23 years with Desert Voices.
A second soprano, Fred.
No.
First soprano, Fred.
Second alto.
Oh, a tenor sax.
Sort of.
Gotcha. So you've been with these guys for 23 years?
Yeah.
And they're only 25 years old?
26.
26?
Mm-hmm.
So you're right in the ground floor.
So you started when you were 10, maybe?
Just about.
Just about 10?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. Very fun.
Yeah.
So let's we always do this dissection with our guests. So tell us a little bit about Sylvia Yeager.
Oh.
Former wife of Chuck.
Oh, yeah. Former wife of Chuck. I moved to Tucson. I moved to Arizona in 83, and I've been in Tucson since 90. And I worked for Tucson Parks and Recreation.
Wait. So I moved to Tucson in 1983, and I've been here since 1990.
No, I moved to Arizona in 83.
Oh, 83 in Arizona.
No, I was saying ho, ho, ho about the
and
Parks
and then you worked for the Parks and Recreation Department?
Uh-huh, yeah.
What year was that about?
92.
And who was running that?
God, that was horrible.
There was Jim Ronstadt.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Those were the dark days of the Parks and Recreation Department.
Those were the best days.
So what did you do
for Parks? Just so you know, Dad is our only one of two listeners.
He and Mom.
Probably. Hi,
Jim. So.
There you go. I'm sure he's got a smile on his face now.
Yeah. I worked at several centers here, but I was at Armory Park with the senior program for about 8 years.
Yeah,
yes.
Armory's great.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, our grandmother, Grandma Ronstadt, Mary Catherine, used to do Tai Chi there.
Oh.
Yeah, so family got some use out of the parks.
Well, we've gone down there and watched Laszlo Varis in the string, or the winds, the symphonic winds practice there.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. So you're goofing around with Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
Having the time of your life.
Yeah.
Working for probably one of the finest men to grace this community.
Mm-hmm.
And you find this organization called Desert Voices. How'd that happen?
Well,
okay,
so
just before we go forward,
This is like a court of law. You can't nod your head.
Oh,
you have to
okay.
like say something.
Oh, okay. That's right. It's radio, isn't it?
That big microphone right there in front of you.
Some friends of mine were singing in this group, and this group was very new, and they said, "We need altos." So I went over and...
How did they know you were an alto?
Well, I knew I was an alto. I didn't care whether they knew or not, so I
showed
up.
You have a business card that says your name, alto.
Well, I opened my mouth, and they said, "Oh, you're an alto." And so I joined, and I've been singing with them ever since.
Cool.
And we do about 3 shows a year, and we sing out in the community sometimes, and sometimes out of town.
Really? How far have you guys traveled?
We went to Denver for the International Conference of Gala Choruses. And
so Desert Voices is a gala chorus?
That's right.
Now, what is a gala chorus?
Gay and lesbian.
Gala?
Oh.
Yeah, that's the way it started. But our chorus now is a third to a half of straight supporters because we have so much fun. When we sing and we become a family. And that's what our newest show is all about, family ties.
Yeah, well, Desert Voices is a phenomenal group. I mean, very talented people. And I've seen them perform several times.
Oh, you have?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I get around.
You do?
Yeah.
We're not going to go there, Fred. Fred was one of the few people that Desert Choruses turned down as a member. One of the few. It's a little known story, right, Fred?
You want to tell us the story? I don't know what Desert Choruses is.
Or Desert Voices, excuse me.
God, what is... It's right in front of you.
I know, but I was trying to make a joke. And so, you know, sometimes you get ahead of yourself with a joke.
Yeah, so, you know, they saw the name, Ronstadt. They asked me to audition. I showed up. I sang something. And they said...
I think it was a Beatles tune.
Yeah, I think... And they said something to the effect of...
No, thank you.
Do you know any other Ronstadts?
You're not the Ronstadt we were thinking of. very fun.
Yeah.
So it's a great group.
It is. It is a good group. Cosmopolitan. We have people from 27 years of age to 75.
Wow. And so you guys have a show coming up April 25th.
We do.
7 o'clock, West Campus of Pima College.
Yes.
And what are you guys going to be singing?
Well, we're going to have a mixture of pop tunes and choral tunes. We're singing all about families and the makeup of different families. And families, of course, you know, right now are made up not just of mom and pop and the kids. They're a mixture of things.
Grandma and grandpa.
Grandma and grandpa, committed partners who can now marry, and you get... all kinds of people
sure.
of all ages and backgrounds.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Now, how many people are in the chorus right now?
We have about 50.
Is that a high or a low number for you guys?
It's a fairly high number.
Oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
50. So give us, tell me one or two songs.
Okay, I just
be more specific.
I just want to make a comment, a sidebar.
Please, Fred.
Because it's relevant, because I said sidebar. You know, if they let Tony Zinman in this chorus, I could probably get in. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, if Tony Zinman's in this chorus, I don't know if you want to be in it.
No, I want to be in it. But I'm just saying, you know, the bar has been lowered.
Perfect. So give us a...
Tony's a good guy.
Tony is.
Oh, no, he's a great guy.
Very few people know that, but I agree
with you. Well, I found out. It took a long time. But
oh, he takes some time to warm up to, doesn't he?
He's some sweetheart. Let me give you an example. We're singing Family from Dreamgirls.
No. Actually, that's from the 1979 Pittsburgh Pirates World Series run.
No, that's We Are Family.
Oh,
and
that was
Sly and the Sister Slit. No,
Family Stone.
Family Stone.
And we are singing that also.
There you go.
What do you know?
Okay, well, that's worth coming out right then and there.
Right. And we have some small groups and soloists that are performing.
Oh, so it's not all of you. It's not all of you just standing in the front and sing. You've got different acts that you're doing.
We do, and we move. And
do you guys use the ropes like the Arizona Boys Chorus cowboy hats and vests and?
No, not for this show.
Darn it!
This show we grew
you
got to
take
a little bit.
Whoever's in charge, take that idea back to them.
Yeah.
Let them know. Let them know it was my idea.
Oh. Okay. And we're also singing from Wicked.
Ooh, what from Wicked?
What is this feeling?
What is this feeling? I think it's hunger.
Yeah.
Maybe it's thirst.
And maybe it's the desire for a cigar and tequila.
Right after the show, baby. Cool. So you guys have a, it sounds like a great lineup.
It's a very good show, and I think anybody who came would be quite entertained. And you laugh, you cry, you feel what's going on between the audience and the singers. And we have a very fine director in Sean Collin, and he brings out the best in
us. Sean Collin.
That guy's been there a while, right?
No, he's been with us 2 years, but he's also the Reveille director.
Reveille.
That's where I know.
That's our brother.
Oh,
that's our brother.
Right. Yeah. All right, so he's doing double duty.
Yes, he is.
Good for him.
Yeah, he's
excellent,
great.
Excellent. Well, we're really excited for what you guys are up to.
Well, come out and hear us.
Absolutely. Folks, go on out to Pima College West, the West Campus, at 2202 West Anklam Road, April 25th. The show starts at 7 o'clock. It's probably an hour at least. 2 hour show. So you guys are jam-packing a lot of joy into one show. How much are tickets?
Tickets are $18.
Cheap.
And $15 for students.
$15 for students,
but,
$18 for regular people.
Yeah, in advance, $20 at the door.
So I got to get my tickets now. Where should I get my tickets now?
Website. Contact our website.
Desertvoices.org. Or you can go to the Fred and Jeff Show website. We'll have the link there.
Right.
And, yeah, have a great show. Break a leg.
Thank you.
Do you say break a leg for singers?
Say it for anyone that performs.
You do. That means we hope you get to take a bow. That's what it means.
Oh. To break a leg. To bow.
Oh, I always thought
you're the thespian. I can't believe you didn't know that.
I thought it was a curse.
See what I have to put up with? I had to put up with this for 50 years.
See, it's family.
All right, folks, we got to take a break. We'll see you on the other side of the news here on The Fred and Jeff Show.
Everybody was kung fu fighting. Those kids were fast as lightning. In fact, it was a little bit frightening. But they fought with expert timing. There were funky China men from funky Chinatown.
This portion of The Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Barker Morrissey Contracting, Casa de la Luz Hospice, and 1702 Craft Pizza and Beer.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show.
This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ross, and I'm with my little brother Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful.
You know, living in the Sonoran Desert, Fred,
yes,
has a lot of pluses and very few minuses.
I would agree with that.
And even fewer minuses now that we have air conditioning.
You know, I don't know what it is with people and air conditioning. The Sonoran Desert in the summer is just one of the most magical places.
And the most biodiverse place in the world.
You get a little sweaty sometimes. That's not a big deal.
We know this.
Not a big deal.
You know what? I have a friend, Lisa.
Sweat actually cools you down.
I have a...
That's a science fact.
Thank you, Mr. Science, Fred.
Yes, I learned that. I did not learn that actually in biology class. I learned that in elementary school.
Unless you're outside, you know, sunbathing naked by your sister's pool, like my friend Lisa does, then you don't care about sweat.
Well, probably not.
All right, so we got a good show going on right now.
Do we?
Well, I think so.
Okay. So we invite people to visit us at fredandjeff.com. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, subscribe to the show on TuneIn Radio and iTunes.
Yes.
And I don't know what else we can
actually... Get away from the evil Apple empire and go to TuneIn Radio.
Is that a Android app?
No, you can get it on your computer. You can get it anywhere.
Oh, okay.
And probably next year Apple will buy it. But right now, it's a great resource.
Very cool.
Yes.
So we are in the midst of the Arizona International Film Festival.
Yes, we are.
And was it last week, 2 weeks ago, we had Mia... Schneibel on?
It was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and we were talking about this great lineup of dozens and dozens of movies
mm-hmm.
that are being playing at downtown. And actually, the opening movie was called Many Bones, One Heart, which was a documentary on the All Souls procession in Tucson. And I went to the opening night thing at the Rialto, and it was brilliant. I mean, it was a packed room.
Yeah, it was great.
It was a wonderful event. And now everything else throughout the festival... is at the screening room. which is out on Congress downtown.
Which I got to tell you, Fred, I'm so happy about.
Why?
Because the screening room only fits about 120 people.
Yeah.
And it's all brand new digital. I mean, everything is perfect.
The seats are new.
The sound is good. The seats are new. You can get yourself a cocktail. You can watch the movie.
Pizzas. And
it's fantastic. So it's intimate. It's a great, great experience to watch independent movies.
And the cool thing about this festival is that a lot of the directors, the actors, the producers, people involved with creating these gems are here in Tucson, and they have dialogue, they have conversations with those folks coming in to watch the movies.
Yes.
And luckily we
Which
have.
Is great.
Yeah.
Super fun.
You know, that's, you know, I don't know how many times you go to a movie, and I'm not talking about, like, you know...
How many times I go to a movie?
No. I'm talking about when you go to a movie, and I'm not talking about, like, you know, the Avengers or some blockbuster, mega, blah, 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 Hollywood thing. But if you go see, like, independent films at the Loft or the Screen Room or, you know, somewhere in Tucson where they do have these intimate opportunities, it's really nice to have the opportunity to sit down and have a really good conversation with people who make these things.
Yeah, what are they thinking?
Yeah.
What were they doing when they were...
Yeah, what were you trying to say in this piece?
Right. And along those lines, look what we're doing now.
Yeah, we have a producer from one of the movies. Actually, the movie, the 6 o'clock movie tonight, which is under the title Road Trip, but the name of the movie is called Love Is Now. And with us is Sam Ether, who is the associate producer of that movie.
G'day, guys. How we going?
We go good. How are you go?
Very good.
Yeah. Gosh. Sam, where are you from?
From Australia. So if I actually travel with a translator. So if you can't understand a word I say, just put your hand up and we'll come back.
It's funny because during the break, Jeff was watching the trailer, and the first thing he says is, is this French?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, is there a translation on the bottom?
No subtitles. No, it's not dubbed. But if you listen carefully, you'll note there's hints of English.
There's hints of English, yes.
Yeah, amongst the Australian.
Yeah, so you're a producer.
Yes, one of the producers.
When did you get into producing?
When I got really bored of the job I had previously.
Which was
a lawyer, would you believe?
I would believe.
Yeah.
I would believe.
What do you do as a lawyer in Australia? Well, I mean, obviously it's good, a lot of work, because that's where all the convicts were sent back in the day.
Yeah.
Fred, you got to let that go.
You got to let that go. Now, yeah.
It took Fred years to get back. So you've got to let it go.
Well, you know, it was either the nuns or Australia. I had a choice.
So here you are being an attorney in Australia, and you're like, this sucks. I hate being an attorney. So what can I do with this training that I've got? I'm going to become a producer.
Well, I always had an interest in film, and I had made a few short films at university, uni, college. Yeah,
yes,
that'll work. Those ones,
yeah, absolutely.
And then at a bar one night, ran into Baron Schultz, who's actually the producer of this movie, through a mutual friend, and started throwing around ideas of how, you know, a little Aussie movie might be able to get made in the, you know, pretty tough conditions as it is at the moment to get film finance. Went, well, I'll never forgive myself if I don't give it a try. So quit my job, moved to Sydney.
You literally quit your job and jumped in both feet.
Yeah. Moved to
without
cities.
A job? I mean, you didn't really have a job at that
well,
point.
Well, I had a job on the film if we got it up. So
this was an idea.
This was an idea.
And you guys, and so was one of your jobs going out there looking for funding?
Correct, yeah. So this.
And who did you know in Sydney that you could go, you know, twist some arms for some dollars?
Well, we had, we'd approached Nikon. So we say Nikon in Australia, but Nikon, the camera company.
Sure.
Because the film, you know, it's about a couple of photographers and, you know, they're throughout this journey, they take a lot of pictures. So we knew, well, we need cameras in the film. So we went to Nikon and said, do you mind if
product placement.
Put your cameras in the film. And they said, do you think you could actually film on our cameras? On the new DSLRs that were
Will you out. Give them to us? We will be happy to.
So we did some tests and it looked amazing. So we went off and said, yeah, we'll shoot them on some Nikons.
And I'm looking at the website right now. Ladies and gentlemen, you can go to the website. It's called mynikonlife.com. And the picture there is really cool, and it says, I am cinematic.
Mm. So this is the first feature film shot on a Nikon DSLR.
Really?
Yeah.
And so you guys brought this to Nikon. They're like, well, heck yeah, well, we're all over that. And they helped fund your film.
Correct, yeah. And then
was that your idea?
No, that was the other two executive producers. So.
See, we appreciate honesty here on the Fred and Jeff Show.
I just thought of an idea because we need to make a movie about tequila.
Yeah,
and we'll go down to Mexico and talk to the Herradura factory and say
it's a guy called Jose. So
we need it. if we do a movie and just have Herradura in it, will you fund it? And I don't care. I don't really want cash. I want trade.
Right.
Cases and cases of tequila.
The problem would be in this movie, it would be you sitting in a chair, smoking a cigar, drinking tequila.
And your point is?
And on this show, we value honesty.
Well, that is fine. That's fine. We're being honest. That's what the film will be. But what's wrong there?
You're trying to swindle them out of tequila. No. You guys made a great movie, and you used Nikon cameras. Very cool.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So the idea for the movie was who? Who wrote the thing?
It was written by Jim Lounsbury, and the story was developed between him and Baron Schultz, who is the producer. So they've been working together, you know, making various things for about 10 years.
In Australia only?
In Australia, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And apparently they had a conversation on a plane, you know, on a long flight about how this story could work, and then Jim went away and wrote the script in a week.
Wow.
And the script that was eventually shot was pretty much that script that was written in a week.
Wow, that's kind of unheard of.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So does everything take place in Australia?
It does, yeah. So it starts off in Sydney. You know, it's about this young photographer, Dean. He moves to the city. You know, he wants to be a good photographer, meets a beautiful girl.
And she is a very beautiful girl.
Claire Vanderboom.
Were you in charge of any of the casting in this?
No, I wasn't. I sat at the back and watched.
You weren't the guy in the bar that would go in and say, hey, you know, I'm a
producer. We're making a movie.
Oh, yeah, I did that all the time. I never actually had any authority to go through with the promises. So he meets this beautiful girl and her free spirit, convinces him to go with her on a road trip through the Aussie bush. So they travel, you know, up the coast, through the country, going to various farms, meeting people. And then she goes missing. And that's kind of where the story starts to unwrap. It turns into a bit of a mystery. But all shot in Sydney and then a lot of the great regional areas around it, including Newcastle, which is where I'm from.
All right.
Yeah.
Very fun. So this film is all shot digital.
Mm-hmm.
So transferring it to a place like the screening room where it's being shown, no problem.
Wasn't actually. We sent them the DCP, so the actual, you know, drive that we had it on screens in Australia. We just sent the same one over here.
Oh, you've already shown this movie in Australia? This is not the world premiere?
Not the world premiere,
Is it the American premiere?
No, we're actually in Maine.
In
last
Maine?
Weekend, yes.
You chose Maine over us? What's the deal with that?
More of a timing thing than anything.
I'm sure.
We need to talk to Mia about timing.
Yeah, yeah.
The Arizona Film Festival comes before all others.
All others, especially Maine.
Yeah.
So you're on the East Coast, now you're over here in the Southwest.
Yeah, I actually should have looked at the weather for Maine. I looked at the timing. Well, it was snowing, and I turned up in flip-flops. I keep getting in trouble with that. I say thongs.
I'll say thongs.
Flops.
Not really, no.
Well, thongs are like underwear, but you and I remember them like thongs.
Oh, yeah.
Another flip-flops, you're right.
Yeah, we don't call them flip-flops. Well, anyway, so I turned up in my flip-flops, and my luggage never arrived.
Oh.
So I'm walking through the snowy streets of Maine in nothing but flip-flops and a T-shirt, waiting for my bag to turn up.
And
so,
no cab's going to pick you up. Who's that nut guy over there in the flip-flops?
Exactly. Yeah. So that was a nice introduction to the East Coast.
Beautiful. How'd you do over on the... at the Maine small itty-bitty, you know, second-rate film festival?
We won Best Feature.
No way!
Yeah, yeah.
Sweet!
So, very happy with that.
That's outstanding. So we have high hopes for your film here in Tucson as well.
Yeah, look, for the most part, we're really interested in the audience reaction. Because, as I said, you know, we've had an Aussie audience and we've had their feedback on what they thought. Really interested to see what U.S. audiences think.
All right, we got to take a quick break.
Yeah, we do.
And I want to know, we want to talk more about that, because that cultural differences for this piece of art is very intriguing to us.
So folks, stick around. We've got lots more here on The Fred and Jeff Show.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by H&S Estate Garden, the Flight Grill at Pima Air and Space Museum, and PETA Jungle.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show.
This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt with my little brother Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we are celebrating all the people, the places, the events, history, and culture make living in Tucson, Southern Arizona, so gosh darn wonderful. Jeffrey.
Yes, Fred.
Right now, we are in the middle of an annual event that always...
One of our favorites.
Always makes the Old Pueblo a great place to live.
Well, you know what's interesting? People in Tucson, and people that come to Tucson, they know Tucson because of the weather.
Right.
They know Tucson because of the friendly people.
They do.
They know Tucson because of...
The Fred and Jeff Show.
I wasn't going to go that far. I was trying to be honest. One of the reasons a lot of people come to Tucson is for the school, the U of A.
Right.
A lot of kids from out of state.
Yeah.
Military, Davis-Monthan. We have a lot of kids cycling through the military.
And retiring here.
And retiring. They moved to Tucson because of the weather.
Yeah.
And so the weather here right now is fantastic.
It's always fantastic.
No better time to come out to Tucson for the Arizona International Film Festival.
Absolutely.
Which we are right at the beginning of.
No, we're in the middle.
Yeah, we're in the middle of.
Yep.
And I'll tell you what, the films have been unbelievable.
Yeah, they have.
Unbelievable. Yeah, this year.
This goes all the way to the 20th. Well, actually, technically ends on the 25th. And then Sunday, April 26th, is the best of.
Right.
So every film that's won something in the festival gets screened one time.
And this is the 25th annual or 450th annual? How many times have we done this festival here in the Old Pueblo? Which is why we get to call it the Arizona International Film Festival.
I don't know.
It's been a number of years.
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely. I can't remember.
Well, so it's been a number of years.
For what?
For the festival. It's been amazing. And we've got to interview guys like Rocco Bellic, who did the Happy Movie.
Yeah, and this is the International Film Festival.
Right, so...
And with us today is an international filmmaker.
Producer.
Well, it's a filmmaker.
All-around good guy.
Former lawyer.
Former attorney.
Recovering
attorney, yes.
Yeah. Good-looking.
Good-looking.
You know, we try to be honest here on the show.
He's a very handsome lad.
Very handsome.
So tonight, when people, I would invite young ladies to come and check out the associate producer of the movie.
Are you married? Yeah.
No.
Oh, well, there you have it. Yeah. See, why weren't you doing that thing where you go, I'm making a movie. Would you like to come back to my office and test for it?
Yeah, you could try. It doesn't mean it's successful.
it was the percentages on those. So this movie is an Australian movie.
Yes.
Called Love Is Now.
And Fred, Love Is Now.
I thought, all you need is love. Yeah. We can go through all this stuff.
True. All the iteration. But one of the reasons...
Love Is Now is the movie.
Right.
So it's screening tonight at 6 o'clock at the screening room.
Right. Downtown.
On Congress.
Have we done enough?
You take the trolley there.
Questions.
The choo-choo train.
The choo-choo.
You can take
the downtown choo-choo train to the movie.
The screening room and watch Love Is Now.
So earlier, we were talking about, you had mentioned that you screened the film in Maine... The main film festival.
Which we forgive you for.
Right. You guys won. And now you're here in Arizona. Mm-hmm. But the intriguing thing that you talked about was that you guys are looking for audience reactions. And so the reactions that you have from American audiences may be very different from the reactions you have from Australian audiences.
Yeah, very much so.
And so give us an idea of what you saw in Australia when you screened the film.
I think a lot of the, this is a, we filmed it on these beautiful cameras, these
Nikon cameras, right?
Nikon cameras. So the landscape, there's a lot of, beautiful Australian countryside. So I think for a lot of Aussie audiences, they go, seen it, that's the backyard, yep, been there. There's not as much intrigue as when you take it to audiences in America, and they'll go, wow, look at that beautiful mountain range. And
so
go,
the
wow,
Chamber of Commerce loves this movie.
Well, hopefully they can call me if they do.
Yeah, the Australian Chamber of Commerce is like, yeah. We got to get this movie out.
Yeah, tourism.
Right. Yeah. So, and I guess that would be like us making a movie in the Grand Canyon, and Arizona's going, yeah, been there. But everybody else around the world going, holy cow.
Yeah, how amazing is this? Yeah, exactly. You show off your best bits.
And you feel like this movie does that.
Yes, we really wanted to show off, as I said, you know, these beautiful regional areas that a lot of people don't get to see, you know, because they go on this, you know, 1,000-mile journey along the coast. And
the characters do.
The characters do, but so did our crew. You know, we had to travel to a whole lot of different, you know, far-out places and... you know, met some wonderful people. You know, one of the places we stayed at, at a pub, in rooms above the pub. And the next day when the director was commenting that one of the street signs was, it was a shame it was in his shot, the lady that owned the bar came out with a chainsaw and was about to mow down the street sign just so she could improve the shot for them. So that, yeah, it's the kind of wonderful people you meet when you go out into regional areas.
I think she just wanted to use a chainsaw.
That's true, yeah. She got it for Christmas. So, yeah.
Really? That's crazy. So I guess that brings me up to the next question is, if the director's commenting about some of the background, did you guys not have the budget to go in with the computers and clean that stuff up?
No, so small budget film. We only had so much, and we had to really punch above our weight, call in a lot of favors. And, you know, that's the thing with making independent films. It's not so much about budget as resources. And so, you know, we had a budget of X, but we've managed to make this a film that looks many times that just by calling in all sorts of favors.
Well, that's how you make a film. I mean, yeah. You know, we've talked to local filmmakers. And it's, you know, it's not who can write checks, it's who you know and who can get you into, you know, a venue at 3 a.m. so you can shoot.
Correct,
something,
yeah.
Going on.
That's, yeah, a good point. Who knows someone with a farm, you know, that you can use the back paddock to park some cars, and, you know, who's got a friend who can just turn up at the last minute. So, for instance, in this film, my dad has a part.
Really?
Because the actor
cast your dad.
Yeah, the actor missed his flight. And my dad was visiting the set, so I said, by the way, Dad, you're just going to have to put on this hat and coat and walk with a torch along there for the next 3 hours.
So. With a torch? Does he have to wear armor and have a shield with a torch?
No. He's a security guard.
Oh, and by torch, you mean a flashlight.
Sorry, flashlight, yes. Yeah. This is why I need the translator.
Oh, no, I'm just teasing you. That's very cool. So a lot of the things that you're anticipating from American audience would be like what? What are you hoping to see from the audiences?
Well, the big thing with this film is that there's a twist.
Okay.
You know, as I said, she does go missing, and a lot of the film is trying to work out and unpack how, when, why.
So it's not just the scenery. You guys are looking for...
I want someone to say wow when the film ends.
Okay.
So this is like an M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong.
There's a bit of that
twisty thing at the end.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that. It's sort of hard to give away too much.
Yeah, we don't want you to do that. But what I'm curious about is you're in there and you're watching the audience react to your film.
Yeah, I want to see people cry. I know that sounds a bit sort of mean.
No.
We want to see people crying, having a real emotional reaction to some of it, and then at the end to say, "Wow. Okay,
I
didn't see that coming."
If you don't get that,
yes,
are you? I mean, the film's out there. It's been out there in Australia.
Yep.
It's been at Maine. It's here in Arizona. So you haven't released it worldwide. Are you guys, would you be interested in making changes to the end of the movie or
let's talk philosophically before that.
Okay.
I mean, because, you know, I always think, and I don't know if you will agree with this or not, but I always think that, you know, testing a movie and then changing it to
appeal to a broader audience.
It's kind of like, you know, would you go and modify Picasso because they didn't like the nipple there? Or
yeah, but that's different though, Fred. Because
it's a piece of art.
Also talking about the economics of film, and small filmmakers who want to make more films got to make a buck. Am I wrong?
Well, but I think there's an issue of integrity and artistic vision.
Yeah, there's a famous quote that films are never finished, they're abandoned. because you can never truly, you know, I think it was Orson Welles, truly complete a film. But this is a completed film. You know, we're not taking it to get feedback to make changes. We're just really interested in what the US audience thinks, and so, you know, how might be the best way to make it available to them, you know. Should it go into theatres? Should it just go into art house theatres? Should it be on, you know, TV or Netflix or anything like that? And we got very lucky in that we actually, this film got bought by Universal Pictures.
Really?
Recently. So it's actually going to be distributed by Universal.
So you already have distribution?
Yeah, yeah.
So really, this film, you guys are just doing this for fun. You're here to learn about the reaction, but you're down the road. You're on your next project.
Yeah, so trying to get an audience base, and obviously festivals like Arizona, and I mean already we've only been here a day, and being able to meet other filmmakers, you know, that where we talk about resources, you know, going to these festivals and meeting other people and seeing their work and being able to chat to them and swap details, and, you know, that's one of the real values of these kinds of festivals. And as I say, we've been here a day, and already, you know, I think I've got 12 cards, you know, of people that I'll be emailing. So,
oh, that's great.
And a list of all these films I want to see before we have to fly out.
Do you have other film festivals that you guys are going to be streaming the show?
We're going to Newport Beach Festival, end of next week, before we fly back to Australia, and then we've got a few in Europe in July, and then hopefully a few in Asia and South America towards the back end of the year.
Oh, that's
so great. We're really traveling with it, and thoroughly enjoying it.
That's great. Folks, you got to get out to the screening room tonight.
At 6.
At 6 o'clock. There's only 125 seats, so don't dawdle. Get out there and get
$6. It's $6 to get in the door.
Right.
It's
and are cheap. Are you guys going to be there answering questions?
Yeah, we'll be there. I think there's a Q&A afterwards, but even if there isn't, come up. We're friendly guys.
Is anybody else besides you from the film going to be?
Yeah, the director, Jim Lounsbury, is here with me as well.
Nice.
Excellent.
So
excellent.
He'll be there. He's more than happy to answer questions. But a lot of great films. Go out and see as many as you can, but definitely this particular one, 6 o'clock tonight.
Love Is Now.
It's the screening room tonight.
It's the screening room tonight. Thank you. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Safe travels wherever you go, and we hope to see some good stuff from you in the future.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
All right. Folks, that's all we got for you this week. We will see you next week here on The Fred and Jeff Show. Let's talk about the good time.
The Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by our friends at Tucson Appliance, Unicom Graphics, and Architecture Design Group.